Shlachim Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. In the beginning of this perek, we were talking about how the son of Achav, Achaziah, continued in the ways of Achav, his father, continued worshipping idols, and then he falls, ends up getting sick, he's on his deathbed, and he sends messengers to Baal Zvuv, the priests of Baal Zvuv, because the priests of Baal Zvuv apparently knew they were able to tap into life and death issues and to know if a person was going to die. And so when the messengers go to Baal Zvuv, Eliyahu confronts them and he says, how could you go to Baal Zvuv to find out if Achaziah is going to live or die? Ha'inil kim b'Yisrael, right? Isn't there a God amongst the Jews? Richard Rowling, Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And Achaziah questions his messengers, and he asks them, you know, trying to find out who it was. Turns out it was Eliyahu. And so he sends some kind of general, Sar Chamishim, right, with 50 men, and he sends them to go bring Eliyahu. So the first messenger goes, he speaks very respectfully towards Eliyahu. And he tells him, the king wants you to come to him, so Reda, go down. He's giving him an order.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. So Eliyahu turns to him and he says, If I'm in fact the man of God, a fire from heaven is going to come down, consume you and your men. And that's in fact what happens. The fire comes down, descends from heaven, and consumes this general and his men. So Achaziah doesn't give up. Let's see, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayashav v'yish l'chelav, v'sar chamishim acher l'chamishav. So he says another messenger, another general, with 50 men. Vayan v'yidamer elav, ish elikim, koyamar melech mehera reda. Now the second general heard exactly what happened to the first one, so he takes the necessary precautions. He doesn't come close. When it says vayan, what that means is to raise your voice, to scream. So he didn't go up to the mountain to speak to Eliyahu face to face. He was afraid. Right? So he screams from afar, and he says, please come down. Come down with me. Right? The king said, you should come. Mehera Reda. And this was also disrespectful. Why was this disrespectful? First of all, the fact that he didn't go up to him. Right, and the second is because he's telling the same words that the first general said, Mehera Reda, hurry up and come down. Right, he's not asking nicely, he's not treating him with respect. So what does Eliyahu say? Vayan Eliyahu, vayidaber aleihem, I misha elikim ani. If in fact I am the man of God, tirid esh min shamayim v'toichel oischa v'schamishecha, a fire from heaven will descend and consume you and your men. Sure enough, fire comes down and burns him and all of his 50 men.
It was a hot day.
Right? Now, the fact that he thought, why did he deserve to be punished? The fact that he thought that if he stands from afar, Eliyahu will not be able to affect him, that in and of itself is a serious problem. That is showing disrespect. Oh, you think, really? You're standing far away, you think, you know, a man of God can't control? What's that? What's standing far away from him? That's why that disrespect, that the fact that he showed that, oh, if I'm standing from here, you're not going to be able to control me, that in and of itself is why he disrespected Eliyahu. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayashav v'yishlach sar chamishim shlishim v'chamishav. Achaziah sends a third general with his 50 men. Vayal v'yovo yisara chamishim ashlishi. Now this one does what he's supposed to do. He goes up to Eliyahu. He approaches him, climbs the mountain, goes all the way up to him. Vayichra al birkov l'neged Eliyahu. He bows down to Eliyahu. Vayischaren elav. He begs him. Vayidaber elav. And he talks to him. Isha Elikim, man of God, Tikar no nafshi v'nefesh avadecha, Eile chamishim be'inecha. please, have mercy on my soul, and mercy on the soul of my men, and do not hurt me. Yeah, now, he left his men down at the bottom of the mountain, not to show that he's trying to intimidate Eliyahu. Right? It's much more respectful to come alone, to come by yourself. Right? Because that's showing that, you know, we're talking man to man. I don't need my 50 men to come with me and to force you down. But I'm doing this in a way where I'm trying to approach you to speak to you in a more personal manner.
The end of the pasuk says, and the angel came and told him, go with him.
Yeah.
And it says, fear him not. Who does he mean, fear him not?
He got 50 soldiers with him.
The soldiers begged him to burn him, so the soldiers believed. Why should he fear the soldiers?
Where are you reading?
I have to tell him the...
Where are you reading?
Huh?
Which pasuk? Yud Gimel?
15. Where are we holding?
We're pasuk Yud Gimel. 13.
Oh, okay. All right.
13. We didn't get there yet.
Okay.
Didn't get there yet. In just a minute, yeah. Yud Gimel, 13, yeah? Mm. So he's begging him. He says, please have mercy on my soul. Right? And he goes on. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Hine yarda esh mir ha-shamayim. Right? A fire descended from the heavens, but and came down and it consumed the first two generals with all their men. And now, please, I'm begging you, have mercy on my soul. Value my soul. That's what he's saying. Right? So what was he saying here? But
with that alone, he shows that he believes.
Right. The
but
fact
then it says the angels told him, go with him, fear him not.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he talking about? Why should he feel the soldiers here? They just begged him for their life. Why should he fear the soldier if that who he's talking about? He's talking about fear not the king.
Soldiers got guns.
Huh?
The soldiers got guns.
But the soldiers just begged him not to hurt them. They just begged him so that he sees that these guys believe. Of course they got guns.
Well, that's the next pasuk. We'll get there in a minute.
Okay.
Let's first explain pasuk Yud Dalet before we get to pasuk Tesvav. So in pasuk Yud Dalet, what's he saying? He's saying, fire came down from the heavens and consumed the first two generals.
Right.
Right, so what's he saying? He's saying, if the purpose of bringing down the fire was an order to scare us, right? To show, to put fear in our hearts, right? There's no need for that. Because we already saw it twice. We saw two times how the fire came down from the heavens and it consumed the other general, right? Right, so we know, right? You don't have to scare us. Like, we know exactly who we're dealing with, right? And if the reason why they were punished is because they were disrespectful towards you, Elio, I'm begging you, have value my soul. Tikar nafshi beinecha. My soul should have value in your eyes. Right? He's saying it twice. First of all, your soul should have value in my eyes. First of all, so you don't burn me and my men. Secondly, he's saying, please come down with me so that the king does not kill me. Right. So first of all, don't burn me. Secondly, please come down with me. Come with me, so the king doesn't kill me. Right. If I don't bring you by force, then the king will kill me. Right. So that's why he's saying twice, Tikar nafshi beinecha. Once he's saying it in pasuk Yud Gimel, and the second time he says it in pasuk Yud Dalet. For those two reasons. Now let's see pasuk Tesvav. Vayidaber Malach Hashem el Eliyahu. The Malach comes to over to Eliyahu and he tells him, "Raid Oisai al tirmi panav. Come down to him. Do not fear him." We'll see in a minute what that means. Vayakom veyard Oisai el Melech. Eliyahu, in fact, gets up. And
this is where he says, "Don't fear him." Who?
So the Malach is telling Eliyahu, "Don't fear the king." Right.
Don't fear the king.
Ahaziah. He's afraid.
Can't see the soldiers. The soldiers.
Right. No, not the soldiers. Yeah, the soldiers are clearly being very respectful.
He knows
right.
that they're not. They're not going to harm him.
Right. So the Radak explains that because he was afraid that Eliyahu was afraid that Ahaziah will go ahead and either kill him or hurt him because Eliyahu had nevuah against Ahaziah. Yeah. Right. Against the whole family. Right? There's a lot of bad blood that went through Eliyahu and the family of Ahab. He had nevuah against that they're all going to die out. Right? So, he's afraid either of the king, that's one option, or, says the Radak, he was afraid of Izebel, his mother. Right? Izebel already has it out for the real Nevi'im. Right? She tries to prop up Nevi'i HaSherah, she tries to kill out all the Nevi Hashem, right? She was very successful in what she did, and this manhunt to kill all the true Nevi'im. So there's a lot of, you know, history between Eliyahu and Izebel, the mother, and the family in general. So he's afraid. You know, he's got to take the necessary precautions, right? Oh, you might say, what do you mean? Right? He's an Avi Hashem, right? You see before how he can go ahead and he can, you know, order a fire from heaven and come and burn down, you know, two generals and all their men. Right, so what is he all afraid of all of a sudden, right? So it's interesting to note that if you remember how back in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel is told by Hashem to come and appoint David as king, what does Hashem tell him to do? Hashem tells him, go ahead to the town of David and appoint him as king. Now, Shmuel knew that Shaul has it out for David. Right? He was afraid that Shaul will take out revenge against Shmuel, against him. And therefore, he tells Hashem, listen, I can't go ahead and anoint David. I have to have an excuse to come to town. I can't just go ahead and anoint David because that will be going against the king. And I'm afraid the king will let out his wrath on me. So Hashem says, don't worry about it. I got a plan. Take a carbon, take an animal with you, come over to the town of Yishai and David, Yishai the father of David, and tell everyone I came to bring a carbon to Hashem. That was at the time you were allowed to bring carbonis because there was no Beis Hamikdash. There was Heter Bamos. And we find over there that Hashem is giving Shmuel a plan to make it look natural so it won't look like he's trying to rebel against Shaul, against the king. What's all this, you know, planning and scheming and strategy? What do you mean? You're a god. You're Hashem, right? You have Shmuel. He's a Navi, right? You're so afraid of the king. Who are you dealing with?
Yeah, you gotta
That's the point.
You gotta be careful, and you gotta go. Everything has to go in a natural way.
Exactly, exactly. Everything has to come in a natural way.
You know,
right. The Gemara says, "Loi Avi the Kadosh Baruch Hu Nisa LaShikra." Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make a miracle for no reason, right? It doesn't just, like, you know, flick his wand and boom, you know, a miracle just appears, you know, poof, right? You know, just for fun, you know, I want you to throw a little miracle here, a little miracle there, you know, just to, you know, spice things up, make life interesting, right? No, God is not in the miracle business, right? He's not a circus performer who is trying to impress his audience, right? He does a miracle once for a reason. Right, the reason why the first two generals were killed by the fire was because they were disrespectful towards the Navi. They deserved to die. That's why. But now Eliyahu is in a situation where he's afraid for his life. So he turns to Hashem and he says, you know, should I go down, should I not? So Malach comes down and says, don't worry about it. Hashem is with you. You can go down to the king. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to do anything. Now that Eliyahu heard that, he says, okay, fine. If now I'm a shliach mitzvah, Hashem is sending me, Hashem is telling me to go, I'm not worried about anything. Shliach mitzvah, einim mizakim, loy b'alichosim, loy b'chazerosim. Shliach mitzvah are not hurt in any way, not on their way there, not on their way back. That's what's going on over here. So let's see what happens next. Pasuk design, v'idaber elov, koyamar Hashem. This is what Hashem says, Yan, asher shalachta malachim midrash b'val zvuv, Elohei Ekroin, Hamibli and Elohim Israel. Is there no God amongst the Jews? Right, you have to go ahead and consult with Bar Zvuv. Lidra is Bidvarai.
Isn't Zvuv a fly?
Yeah. Yes.
The Lord of the Flies.
The Lord of the Flies.
Is that
where
it's a Bal Zvuv.
It's also
Beelzebub. But it's on TV or something like that. It's a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. It was.
I don't know what, but
Lord of the Rings. You mean
the Lord of the Flies?
Lord of the Flies. Yeah. What's that?
It's the story about these children that are on this desert island and they
kill each other,
form their own civilization.
Never heard of it.
William Golding.
Okay, yeah. Take your word for it.
It's in the next chapter. You'll see it.
In any case, so the pasuk continues. L'chein amita sharlis Hashem lo yitered mimeno ki mois tamus. So Eliyahu gives him the very disturbing news that because you went ahead and you consulted Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekron, you will not get up from your death from this bed that you're now lying on. You will die from this sickness. Yeah, because this is sounds like it's measure for measure. Right? So the Malbim over here points out that first he tells him, oh, didn't you know that there's a God? Right? And then he tells him, because he went to Baal Zvuv, that's where you're going to be punished. Right? Why didn't he say, if he would have said, isn't there any God amongst the Jews? Then Ahazi could have said, listen, I had no idea where Eliyahu was. He was out, he was hiding, right? There was no other real Navi that I could have consulted with. So that's why I went to Baal Zvuv. You know, that was my only alternative. So that's why he tells him first that the fact that you sent men to Baal Zvuv, that's why you're going to be punished. Right. Rather, but if you compare this to when Eliyahu spoke to the messengers that Ahaziah sent in the first time, right over there, he says first, "Oh, is there no God amongst the Jews?" Meaning, you don't need to go to Baal Zvuv because I am a Navi. Right, I'm standing right here in front of you, so you don't need to go any further. You can go back to the king and tell him that I'm here. So let's continue. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomas kedvar Hashem asher dibar Eliyahu. Vayim loich yehoyram tachto b'shnas shnayim liyoyram ben Yehoshafat melech Yehuda. Ki lo yehoya lo yibein. Alright, so he dies, in fact, just like Hashem spoke. And Yehoram, his son, he wasn't his son. Yehoram was the next king. B'shnas shnayim liyoyram ben Yehoshafat melech Yehuda. This was in the second year of the reign of Yehoram ben Yehoshafat. They had the same name. There's Yehoram, who was Melech Yisrael. There's Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, who was Melech Yehuda. So in the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, Yehoram became king over Israel because Ahazi did not have any children. So this is pretty much the end of the family of Ahav. This is the end of it. Jack's exactly like Eliyahu prophesied. Yeah.
So, in this Tanakh, in this one, the pasuk is broken up. After Taktav, there's a parsha break.
Oh, really?
In the middle of the pasuk, Taktav, Bishnas.
I don't have that.
No?
No? That's weird.
Yeah.
What actually was his sin?
Who? Ahazia?
The one we're talking about.
He was like his father. He was worshiping idols.
No, but at the beginning, when he sent, he wanted to find out if he was going to die. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Why does he have to send to anybody? What was the sin? Is he doesn't believe in God? Why does he pray to him? Why do you have to have an intermediary between you and Hashem? If you want to know something, you pray to God.
You want to get a second opinion?
It's going to be, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know why it's there. I don't know.
And what was the sin? He was trying to find out from somebody... He must have believed something if he wants to find out from God. And so he believes God of Zich, the other one, he's the one that's taking care of me. You know what I mean? Why don't he just sit down and pray?
He wants to get a second opinion, maybe.
You're saying Ahaziah himself should dive into Hashem?
Huh?
You're saying Ahaziah himself should dive into Hashem?
Yeah.
Well, he was worshipping idols. Why would he dive into Hashem all of a sudden? Right? It's not like he dived three times a day.
All right, he's worshipping idols. Then what's the question is, why are you going to this guy? That's why we went to him, because he worships idols. What is his question? He doesn't believe the God of... he didn't believe, so... Everybody, the way he's talking to him, why didn't you do this? And then what does he mean? Why didn't you down the God yourself? You don't believe? Is that what he means?
Right. So it sounds like the reason he went to Baal Zvuv was because.
I mean, the thing is, if you look back, his sin is worshiping idols. Period. Never mind this. What's going on here now? Okay. So why does he bring out this whole thing to tell us he's gonna die because he worships idols, because he does the wrong thing? He's going all around it in the way that he's gonna find out he's gonna die now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Without him. Sending for him, without him, why did he send for him? He don't believe in him anyway. What did he hope to gain by that? He don't believe him anyway. He don't believe in the Jewish God. He believe. So,
I think Elio Anovi told Ahav that he was going to die and his whole family was going to die.
Right.
No, it was in the back of his mind. Now his son is king, and he prays to Baal Zvuv, and he says, "Hey, you know, I'm sick, and I'm very sick, and let me check again with what Elio Novi said in the first place."
That's why he doesn't believe in him. He don't believe him.
Well, you know,
if he believed him, he wouldn't have gone to the other.
When you're in the trenches, everyone's religious.
He's telling him.
When you're in the trenches and you're shooting at
him, Elio should know he's sent there because he believes.
All of a sudden, you become religious,
thing,
and that's it.
The thing is that
when you're lying on your deathbed, right? That's usually when your true colors come out. Right, when you're really about to die, he doesn't know if he's going to live or not, Ahaziah. So that should have been enough to push him to really believe in Hashem. Right, that was hopefully the test to see, does he really know? Does he just worship idols because that's what his father did? Knows he's used to that, and keep on doing what I'm doing. Or now that he's really lying on his deathbed, he's got an opportunity to say, oh, you know what? Wait a minute, after all, I believe in Hashem. Right, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. Let me go consult on a real Navi. Right, that's what Hashem was hoping for, so to speak. That's why he tells him, oh, in Elokim Yisrael, there's no God amongst the Jews. You have to go consult with the Baal Zvuv, the priests that then know who's going to live or die. Really? That's what Elio was telling him. So let's just finish the parak before Mincha. V'yesher divrei Ahaziyo, asher asa alehim ha'ksuvim, al sefer divrei hayamim, l'malchei Yisrael. And the rest of Ahaziyo is brought down in divrei hayamim. So now, just real quick, there seems to be some kind of discrepancy. We're not going to have enough time to go through it right now. But there seems to be some kind of discrepancy between the amount of years that Yehoshaphat reigned and Ahab reigned. Because if you calculate, it could not have been that Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, reigned up until the second year of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat. Because Ahaziah became king at 17 years into the reign of Yehoshaphat. And he only ruled for 2 years. So how could it be that if Yehoshaphat ruled for 25 years in total, right, and Ahaziah became king in the 17th year, how is it that when Yehoram became king instead of him, it's already the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat? That's the problem here. So a lot of the Mefarshim talk about, they try to reconcile how exactly it works, that to try to fill in to explain the discrepancy in the number of years. There's a lot of discussion over here calculating exactly how it worked out. But we're not going to have time for that. Maybe we'll see that next time. We'll stop here.